I was dead from wrong, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Thursday night current events broadcast. I'm your host and the general of the Defender 7. And welcome to our broadcast. Now, before we get started, I need to let you all know there's a 16-second gap in between conversations on here. So, therefore, please, by all means, we want to hear everybody's voice. But, no, not to over-talk everybody on this broadcast. I appreciate that very, very much. Now I need to read our disclaimer, and this goes for all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed on the Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. One of the main reasons why I bring that up is because all our shows are posted on YouTube, and those idiots over there claim that there's a lot of misinformation to our shows. Well, that's my disclaimer. I stand by it. Every one of my staff and officers stand by it. So therefore, YouTube, Facebook, y'all can kiss my arse. So those of you who are just tuning into us or have been following us, please be sure check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you hit that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything that we do here in the Defender 7. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our website, all lowercase letters, www.defenders7.com. Again, all lowercase letters, www.defenders7.com. On our site, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store And any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. That's right, folks. We're not like the other groups or organizations out there that keep 90% of what you donate and only give back 10%. All 100% goes back to our communities. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or click that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in a time of need. That's what we're here for. That's the only way we're able to operate and do the things that we do here in the Defender 7. So, again, like I have said, there's a 16-second delay when you talk. So, therefore, this helps so that nobody's over-talking everybody. Therefore, please utilize that. And we all would like to hear from the left an adult debate. But if you come in here cussing at us and putting us down, whatever, you'll be cut off. End of convo. We expect everybody to treat everybody with the utmost respect. We can be also reached on our MeWe site. Click on organizations, scroll down to Defender 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. That's right, folks. We're not a militia. We're here to help. We do train and want to train everybody that's with us. But we are a humanitarian American Patriot Group organization. Nonprofit, LLC. We also have a YouTube channel. Be sure to hop over there. Hit our subscribe button for us. Other than that, allow me to bring in my second in command, Lieutenant General Christopher Weathers. And
good evening.
And Miss Maria Bellamy from Pennsylvania.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad, I guess, for the most part. Hey, I've got some listeners that are listening tonight, and I want to say this right up front. All you millennials, man, if you think somebody owes you something, money, you think you are owed to be top line in a factory, you get yelled at saying, oh, you're yelling at me, my feelings are hurt, find a new job. because I'll tell you right now, for one, you come into my place of work and I see you messing up, I'm not going to yell at you, and I haven't yelled at you. I've been trying to teach you the right way, but then you continually fuck up, then I'm going to start yelling. Then you do stuff that aren't told, I'm going to start yelling. And then you go to upper management and sit there, wow, he's yelling. Fuck you. Go to the fucking diaper room and change your fucking diaper. Put a fucking nipple on that bottle, motherfucker. Because there ain't nobody owes you a fucking thing. This is 3 fucking times I've heard this just today. He's yelling at me. Go get a fucking pacifier and go cry in the corner in your own fucking house. Get the fuck out of my plan.
Join a fucking service and see how well that works out for you.
Yeah, until you get fucking punched in the gut, you fucking pussy.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, no. No, because, you know, now they can hold up their little cards. Oh, my pussy hurts.
Oh, that's right. They got stress cards now. Do that in a time of fucking war and you'll get your head shot off. Do us all a fucking favor.
Well, you do
yell
a lot. You
motherfuckers sit there and come after us saying, oh, well, we're going to go after the veterans and the gun owners and all this and that. What are you going to do, fight us with a fucking rubber dildo? Man, I ain't.
You're
dude,
right.
I got called
yep.
to the fucking office today. All because this kid, he's yelling at me. And then my fucking plant manager comes at me and says, you know how these millennials are. I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm not babying nobody. Fuck you. Fuck your feelings. My bucket of feelings ran out a long fucking time ago.
Oh, no, Chris. Are you bullying little kids again?
Oh, dude. I guess the new 21-year-olds or whatever are the new fucking year-and-a-half-olds. I guess that's what it is.
Well, the good
very
thing,
true.
And these are the guys that are supposed to be going into the military and protecting us.
And they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper fucking bag.
Nope.
But I'm saying this. If your feelings and you don't have fucking thick skin, don't join a factory. Because I'll tell you what, some of us older guys, oh, we thrive on that shit. That'll make it even worse. And you and going to the plant manager, you ain't seen fucked with yet. I'll tell you that right now.
Can I get hired at your job?
Sure. Come on in.
Oh, my God. The two of you together. Oh, shit.
Dude, I'll tell you right now. I am giving this motherfucker, since I got called in the office, I'm giving him the dirtiest, nastiest fucking job I can find every fucking day until you fucking quit. I guarantee I will make you fucking quit. That is a promise. Fuck your feelings.
Yeah, people do seem to have thin skin these days.
Oh, they're as sensitive can get. When I heard that, I had another guy, he hadn't even been here 2 weeks. He was talking to the trainer. You were yelling at me. This dude never fucking yells at nobody. I said, dude, you know, go fucking change your diapers, dude. Go get a fucking baby bottle. gotta whip the nipple on that motherfucker because you're a straight up pussy. But you guys can't get in 64 lawyers and be so tough and talk a lot of shit. But when it comes out to the real fucking working world, you're a fucking bitch. You are straight up pussy ass bitch.
just send them to DC.
Oh man, dude, when I got called in the office, I told the plant manager straight up, I am not babying these motherfuckers. If you want to buy him a case of fucking baby bottles and buy cots for the break room so they could take their nappy nap with their fucking little blankies and shit, you go right ahead. This motherfucker ain't gonna baby nobody. You better have fucking tough skin. Because I don't roll like that, man. This is a hard enough fucking job in this heat without dealing with that stupid fucking shit.
I was cracking up, brother, when you posted that.
Oh, dude, I was
freaking cracking up.
I laughed in the plant manager's face when he told me that shit. Literally, I fucking busted up laughing. He goes, what the hell's so funny? I said, you want to baby these motherfuckers? You go right ahead, but I'm not. I am not letting up.
They're at work. They're not at home.
We deal with 40,000 pound coils of aluminum. It's a dangerous job. That's why we get paid good. But these son of a bitches want to come in here. Look, you can get killed very easy at my fucking job. Very easy. If I see you fucking up, you're going to know about it.
Well, see, here's the problem then, Chris. They're not just putting their lives at risk. They're putting your life at risk.
If I see you being lazy and not doing your job and making everybody else do, oh, you damn right, I will fucking go off on you. You think this is yelling? You ain't seen shit. I catch you on your fucking phones while you're supposed to be working? Oh, dude, you might as well pack out your fucking locker because I'll walk your ass out. I don't need you. If I've got to do your job and mine, fuck you. I don't need you.
Right.
But I'll tell you right now, don't go up to our fucking main bosses saying, Kurt, he's yelling at me. Right? I thrive on it, dude. I'll make your fucking job a living hell. I'll make it worse. But I guarantee you'll end up quitting before I will. That's a promise. I didn't baby my kids like that. And you can ask them. My dad didn't do it to me. And I damn sure ain't going to do it on the job. So, you better grow a pair of fucking real testicles, man. And man the fuck up. Because I don't play that game.
But that's the Democrat way, you know. Oh, my asshole hurts and I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do.
Then get the fuck out of this country. Because this is a working man's world. Nobody's going to give you shit without you working for it. Oh, that's right. Our government does. Fuck.
Yep.
Now they give more to non-Americans than to Americans.
Thank you, Maria. I was just going to say that. They screw the Americans. They want to bring all these fucking illegals in and hand them everything.
Well, I'll tell you what. Don't come around me. I'm saying that straight up. Don't come around me. Because I'm a veteran. I've worked my ass off my entire life. Ain't nobody gave me shit. I've earned everything I got. And
you're
I'm
just
still
an old
paid.
Motherfucker.
Not as old as you, asshole.
Oh, please. I'm older than both of you.
Oh, kiss my arse.
There you go. I was so pissed this morning when I got called in the office. And the bad part was, I was in such a good mood this morning, thinking, this is going to be a good day. And then this shit happened. I get called in the office. Oh, dude. Oh, man. You know, if I didn't laugh, I probably would have hit somebody.
Huh.
That's how pissed off I was.
Yup.
And then I heard that other fucking dude that only been on the fucking job a week, doesn't even know the job yet. You guys are both yelling at me. You're hurting my feelings. Dude. Are you? I had to ask, is he joking or is he just straight up serious? Because this dude's a fucking bitch.
I would have asked if you grew up on a sheep farm.
No, I told him the fucking romper room is down the street with baby bottles with nipples and a blankie for nappy time. That's what I told him. Right in front of everybody. Right in front of everybody. That's exactly what I told the dude.
You are so mean.
That was after I got out of that fucking meeting, getting my ass chewed out for not babying these motherfuckers. Is when I fucking said that. Hey, I'm as real can get, man. And I keep it straight up real.
Sure.
You are that big of a fucking wussy and you can't, what I call, positive criticism, because that's the way I was growing up, get the fuck out of here. You don't need to work in no factory.
Right.
I already have to deal with 115 degrees in my shop. And then I got to hear you fucking whine ass fucking little bitches. Oh, dude, you're really in for it now.
Bro, you sit with your feet up in the air conditioning.
Say what?
You sit with your feet up in the air conditioning.
The only time my feet go up and in the air conditioning is when I get back home. Or in my truck, but I got to drive, so my feet can't go up.
Hey, that's not what Stephanie said.
Whoa. Stephanie said nothing.
See what I mean?
Shit.
I knew you'd start to shit, you instigator. Stir that pot, Bobby.
I said nothing, man. Don't be trying to put shit and fucking words in my mouth.
You tell him, Steph.
Bobby, you can
you
get yourself
him.
In trouble.
Nah. Not me. I don't sit with my
you
feet up on the desk in air conditioning.
I don't sit.
No, Chris does.
Well,
yeah, right.
I mean, I sit in air conditioning.
That's why I got swamp ass.
You are swamp ass.
You know, you're right. I've been in 115-degree temps today.
That's
by the way,
working.
our lieutenant, pain in the ass, everybody, if we could get prayers for her father, because they think he had a stroke.
Yes, I was meaning to bring that up too.
So, send prayers.
She doesn't
please.
Know much. Yes, please do. She doesn't know much right now. She's in constant contact with me at the hospital right now.
So, I just wanted to bring that up since you didn't bring it up first.
That's our major ass pain, Luna Munson.
Right.
Oh, is that
major,
who I'm hearing?
No, she ain't on here.
Oh. I was wondering who
She's
I was hearing
the
talking in the background.
She went at the hospital with her dad.
What did you
say?
I said
Luna is at the hospital with her dad.
Boy, I'm going to knock you out.
What do you mean?
I love you, Chris. Shut up.
What the hell is going on?
Honey, if you don't know, I don't know.
Bobby must be stirring up some more shit.
I don't know.
No. Not me.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you. That's right, Steph.
No.
He is. I know.
He is. No. Don't worry, Chris. I got you.
Even though she don't like you.
Now, I never said that. You know I didn't say that.
She loves
See, I
God.
Know you're lying, Bobby. I know you're
no,
lying, Bobby.
No, ask John. Ask John. She loves John.
Oh, weather. What can I do with him?
I don't know. Put him out. Put that old fucker out of his misery.
Yeah. Thoughts crossed my mind several times. And then there's FedEx.
Yeah, FedEx
right?
is behind her mother right now.
Well, you
Weather.
Know.
Weather.
Tinkerbell. All
right,
how
FedEx.
The
bell
she... Oh my God, child, you're a pain in my butt. Tinkerbell.
FedEx.
Tinkerbell.
I'm sending her to your house, man.
Go ahead. Send her to my house.
Her and Stephanie.
Tinkerbell makes me think of a cat.
I got some shrink wrap and a few trees in my yard. I also know some people that are real clowns.
No.
I'm also sending Stephanie, too.
Oh, she's more than welcome anytime.
Oh, you say that now.
No, I'll always say that. All right, y'all. I got to get going, man. I stink like shit.
What makes me any different than the other day?
Well, that's because I work. Bobby. I don't sit in the air conditioning at home like you
Bullshit.
Do.
Bullshit. I see you sitting on your ass with your feet up in the air conditioning.
See, I know you're full of shit. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got called in the office and got in trouble today for yelling.
I cannot believe they did that. I really can't. I'm like,
oh, it happened.
What's that, baby?
No, no, I believe you. I don't believe you. I think I can't believe what our country has come to. You know that.
The funny thing about it is, I'll bet anybody right now that I will get them to quit within the month.
Yeah, but then they'll just have to hire somebody else.
I'll weed them out. Trust me. I'll weed them out.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Have a good night. I need a shower.
You too, Chris.
All right, brother. You too. You too, bro.
But, yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, I don't know about where you are, but here, they can't find anybody to work. They keep jacking up the starting wage, and people still don't want to work. You know, which is really weird because right now the government isn't really giving out that much shit unless you're non-American.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
They've got plenty of money for non-Americans, whether they're here in our country or in other countries. But they're not really handing money out to American citizens, even, you know, the progressive ones. That's what they're bitching about. And, now, you know, I mean, they have time to go out and protest. You know, but nobody wants to work. It's like, what the hell?
Right.
You know, so you've got people that don't want to work to earn money. Like, there's no food to buy, let alone to keep handing out for free. So, you know, I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's happening all over. Here, I mean... Even here in South Carolina, it's, you know, there's jobs. It's just nobody's applying.
Now, I got called in last night, last minute, because the night, person called out sick last minute or whatever. And I'm really enjoying working at Burlington, but I am so glad that I got an education, you know, that I went to college and that I got, you know, the kind of work that I can do in an office. I'll tell you, working at that's hard freaking work. They have my utmost respect, those cashiers and those people that work in the retail. You know, it really, you know, I've always had respect for manual people who do manual labor. I've always had respect for farm workers, you know, whether they were migrant farm workers or, you know, the kids of the people who own the farms. I mean, that's freaking hard ass work. You know, it's a shame that they belittle these jobs. If you don't have a college education, then you're nothing. You're beneath me. And it's like, don't you realize, you idiot, like that comedian on Colbert that said that, you know, the people in the Midwest need to listen to us because we pay all the bills. And it's like, don't you realize if it wasn't for the workers, the people who grow the food, who pick the food, who sew the clothes, you wouldn't have anything to buy. You know, so stop it. Just because you've got money doesn't make you better. If anything, it makes you worse than the person that's doing the work to make sure that you get food or clothes or whatever. You know, and it's a real shame that people don't have more respect for the little guy, you know what I mean? For somebody that's
right.
Uneducated. You know, yeah, do I think that somebody flipped a burger deserves $15 an hour over, you know, somebody that programs computers? Absolutely not. But that's not the same thing. That doesn't mean I don't have respect for what they do, but that's not a job that you should be doing as head of household. something you do as a teenager working, you know, for extra money, pocket money on top of your allowance, or to help work your way through college or something because the hours are flexible. It's not something you do to maintain a family. Being a machinist, like what Chris does, or, you know, or whatever, yes, because that's, you know, that's skill. That's a skill. So, I mean, so, you know, so though I do have respect to people who do manual labor, that doesn't mean that they should be paid the same amount as type of thing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Again, like I said, I'm not.
Yes.
It's just, you know, I think that they deserve to, you know, to have all the benefits type of thing. Like whether you have a full-time job that's $12 an hour or $20 an hour or whatever, if you're giving that job your time and you're good at your work, whether it's manual labor that doesn't require an education or it's something with a college education, you got to know rocket science. You deserve whatever benefits it is that job has.
Right, right.
But see, unfortunately, the elites don't see it that way. That's why all these farm workers, I mean, nobody, that's why Americans don't want to work on farms, because they don't get those benefits.
No, because Americans expect to run into that farming community with no experience at all and expect to make top dollar because they're part of labor.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Look, I've done manual labor. I've picked strawberries. I've picked oranges. I've picked a lot of shit. Let me tell you, when I was a kid and we went to Florida and had to pick oranges, well, we didn't have to, but my mom, you know, she gave us an option. We could stay longer, go to Disney if we picked oranges. There were six of us. Six of us could not do the same work as this old couple did. They made between $150 and $200 in one freaking day. We barely made $150 between six of us.
Right.
Because they knew what they were doing. They were skilled.
Sure.
My aunt Pig and Aunt Coot, they were migrant farm workers. They only worked 6 out of the year because they made enough money during that 6 months to support themselves during the other 6 months. And they weren't on welfare.
And that's the main problem right now, because everybody wants everything handed to them without doing the actual work.
No matter what the work is.
I do the same thing. We were at the blueberry farm. We were at, you know, down at Cavaliero's in South Jersey, picking up the clams and the crabs
Yeah, I remember that.
But it was fun because they made it fun.
Right.
It wasn't just a job. It was you were learning about the economics, about the agriculture, the whole work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what today's people, not just kids, but adults, have drawn away from.
Yep. That's why I'm enjoying working at Burlington, because it's a new experience. I'm learning all kinds of things, you know, and it's really kind of cool. I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm glad I didn't choose that for my career. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think I would have made it. But, I mean, you know, knowing that, I also see they need the help. They are so short-staffed.
Sure.
And the staff they do have, it's almost all part-time because, you know, they're actually even not allowed to hire too many full-time people. But it's mostly part-time, and people are constantly calling out. It's you know, I'm like, okay, you know, I don't understand
it. And the call-outs and stuff now, is like, oh, in my eyes, it always has been my policy, you know, you call out, you better be dying. Because, I mean, to call out because, oh, all my friends are getting together to go down the shore and hit the beach. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is that more than worth, is that worth more than helping out your community and helping yourself out living-wise?
There's this one Burger King I stop in periodically, and there's an older woman that works there, and I've talked to her, I talk to her every now and then. It's an older black woman, and we've made comments about how, you know, it's sad that, you know, here we are, she's retirement age, I'm almost retirement age, and we're working our asses off because, well, we need the money, first of all, but also, too, because normally these jobs would be for younger people, but they're not taking them. They don't want to work.
Exactly. And whose fault is that?
Their parents?
No, no, no. It's, well, yes. In a sense, yes. But...
No,
who started
it's
that crap?
It's the school. It's society. It's colleges making these kids think that they must have a college education to be worth anything, and that they deserve to get $15 for flipping a burger because they got pregnant at 16, and you know need to support a baby. So, you know, I mean, it's just I don't know.
But seriously though, and who contributes to it? Here's your stimulus check.
Oh yeah, true.
You
yeah,
know,
I heard
I mean,
they're supposed to be handing out more stimulus checks, and I'm like, where are they getting the money from?
I still want to know where the hell my checks are.
You didn't get them?
Nope.
Seriously, you
not
didn't get
one.
Any of them?
No.
Wow.
Not a single one.
Maybe not your last name. Maybe they ran out of money before they got to you.
But that,
I know some people got a lot more than others, you know. And
sure,
yeah, even like
sure.
With unemployment stuff. Yeah, like crazy.
I mean... That doesn't bother me. I don't care.
No.
But what I care about is, okay, I've already been retired. I'm on disability. The whole works, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, play me that, you know, the violin, whatever. But I don't care about that. Because
I understand what you're saying.
I know in the long run, it's not free freaking money to begin with.
Correct.
Would it be nice to get it? Yes. Hell, anybody would love to get a surprise check or surprise stimulus here and there. But... looking at half these people that started bragging about that stuff, I'm like, really?
Right.
That's all you're freaking worried about? What about putting your time in? What are you doing in your own time? What are you doing to help your community?
Yep. They don't get it. They don't get it.
No, they don't. But,
same thing when I was on disability, because for a certain period of time, you're not allowed to work at all or whatever. I did volunteer work because I'm not taking a handout. I'm giving.
Right.
I want to do something back. I had only gotten on it for the medical benefits because I couldn't get any kind of medical assistance. I I couldn't get a job that offered medical, you know, that offered health care, and because they don't hire full time, and I'm, you know, it was crazy, and I couldn't work without my medicine at the time, so you know my only choice was getting on disability. I hated it. I hated having to apply. I hated being on it. And trust me, I don't regret that they decided that I make too much money and I don't deserve to be disabled. I'm fine. I'm happy with that. The
sure.
But my point is, I you know even when I was you know disability, I still had to pay Medicare and Social Security. My thing is, okay, everybody knows that Medicare and Social Security are not going to last. It never was because it's badly managed.
Nope.
And to be quite honest, it never should have been a thing to begin with. Now, I understand you're worried about people as they get older being able to take care of themselves. Okay, so you want to make a mandatory savings plan fund, but it should be in the person's own name, not going to the government. This way, if they die before they hit retirement, the money goes to their family. In the meantime, over 30, 40, 50 years, how many tens of thousands of dollars are they taking out of your check for Social Security and Medicare that when you die, they get to keep? And
right.
They're collecting the interest on.
Yep.
Don't people think about that? Plus, you're
nope.
supposed to have a 401k on top of that because it's not going to be enough.
Let me tell you something.
If you die beforehand, they don't give you that money back. Yeah.
No, they sure don't. No, they
right.
don't. And that's why I fought it for years before I honestly could not work no more. And... Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, if you put me in that situation, I'm going to melt away to nothing.
Right.
I'm like, give me a consultant job. Give me something in my area of work. Oh, well, we can't.
Right.
Because we don't have that type of work for you. I'm
right.
like, all right. And they're like, well, now we got you in between the rock and the hard place.
Right.
Now you got to accept it.
Right. And I still think the reason they declared me and took me off of a disability was because I refused to get that damn poison.
Well, that was what was leading me into the rest of the conversation is that's the whole point right there. If you can't read between the lines and see that the people that are taking these vaccines are your elderly and your veterans.
Right.
Why? Why?
And they're dying.
Exactly. It's, again, we've said it on this show, and like I said, before we started the show tonight, you know, I'm blocked on YouTube.
Oh, wow. What'd you
because,
do?
Because they say medical misinformation. If you
yeah,
say
Bob,
anything
you
that has to do
Facebook?
With freaking... But that's not just Facebook. It's all these platforms.
I know.
And, you know, to me, it's a challenge for one, and I love a challenge. And number two, like I said, you know, I'm not the only one in this position of where I am
no.
in life. And I know people relate. And I'm not going to sit here and blow fluff up your ass. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's not me.
I want to know what the fuck happened to agreeing to disagree.
Well, that went out the window the minute that, you know, they kicked Trump out of office.
No, actually, I think it just started disappearing before that. But, you know, there was a time when, you know, people could have a – I'm in a couple of different channels on Discord, and one of the rooms that we have is pro-abortion versus anti-abortion type of thing, and it's just to open up conversations, the conversational starters or whatever. And this kid came in and he started the conversation, so I got involved with this conversation, and I actually agreed with a lot of what he was saying. But the only, and he had to be in his teens, the only thing he focused on was what I was saying that he disagreed with. And he got really nasty. In fact, he called me some really bad names and said some really mean things to me. And he had to leave, wound up having to leave the server because he also blocked us because he didn't want to see what we had to say. And I'm like, what the, and I wasn't mad. I mean, you know, I don't care. I want to hear what other people's opinions are. And I was asking him why he felt certain ways, and they can't answer. All they can do is start calling you names and screaming and yelling at and calling you, oh, you're one of those. Oh, you just follow Fox. You're a Christian or, you know, and I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
Exactly.
You know,
that's the only way that they fight back.
You know, there was a time when you could talk to people that you didn't agree with, and maybe you do get excited. I mean, I'm Italian. It doesn't take much to get me excited. But that doesn't mean. But I'm not. You know. But I don't get mean and nasty. I might get loud. But again, you know, that's my personality. You know. I mean.
Right.
But the point was, you know, if you don't agree with everything they say, and the thing was, the arguments I was giving to support my side were logical arguments. It was data-driven or personal experience.
Right.
You know, and here I am, a 58-year-old woman who was pregnant. Didn't find out I was pregnant until 6 months. And trust me, back when I was pregnant, there was no abortion for somebody at 6 months. Not that I would have taken it. But my point is that I was in the situation that these women are saying they get stuck in and they have no choices. So I know that's
right.
Bullshit. But I'm a 58-year-old woman who's lived through this stuff to the 16-year-old kid, and then, you know, he's going on about rape and incest. And again, I can relate to all of that shit, and I told him that. I said, that's not an excuse. I said, you think you're the only one, or that your siblings or whatever, the only ones that have been through a bad life? You know, I said, you have to look at the whole picture. You know what I mean? It's like these women, they're screaming and yelling, my body, my choice. And they're right. They are absolutely right. Their body, their choice. That also means their body, their responsibility.
Right.
You know, you want the choice, then you've got to take the responsibility. But their arguments, they don't want to hear that. And I don't understand. Why can't we agree to disagree? That's all I've got to say. I just wish I could, you know, people, today's young adults would learn how to just accept somebody else's opinion. You don't have to agree with it in order to at least try and listen. If we don't start communicating better, we're fucked. It's like, why bother trying to save people who don't even want to bother trying?
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I get the same thing in the other groups I belong to. And, in fact, I got into it with one person. They're like, well, okay, you claim that you're, you know, that you have Christian values. Why do you cuss so much? I'm like, I'm not perfect. I never claimed to be perfect. And that I know for a fact that's what turns off our chaplain, is my mouth. And I've sat down with him and I've told him time and time again, I'm like, look, you know, I do believe in God, yes. I love the gospel. But I am not perfect. And you can't. I don't trust somebody that'll sit there and throw it in my face about gospel this and Christian that. And, you know, I've been around the world. I've been around all kinds of people. And like I said, you know, yes, I have Christianity in me. But don't push your luck. And because, again, not everybody is that perfect Christian.
Correct.
Everybody's got flaws.
It's
and
the effort that we try.
Exactly. And see, that's what gets me in trouble in these other groups. Oh, you're not Christian because you can't say shit and damn. I'm like, what?
Wait a minute.
Really?
What does it say in the Bible that you can't say shit and damn? All it says is don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that. Because that's the first thing I come up with. And then everybody gets quiet, and of course I get blocked.
I mean, yeah, I do try not to use, you know, bad language in most situations. I really do try because I'll try and be courteous. But at the end of the day, where does it say in the Bible that you cannot curse? It says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. I don't know where
exactly.
It says that you're not allowed to use bad language.
Every language, every biblical, every religion that I have personally read has not one word that says you can't.
Right.
And it doesn't make you a better person, and it doesn't make you the worst person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
like
you know what?
I do try to do that,
I've been through so much in my life. And
right.
I have experience, and I'm God is my witness. I am glad that I went through most of the things that I went through to get
to
where
made you
I'm
who
at
you
right
are.
Now.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree
and
with
see,
you.
And see, when you try to explain that to somebody that's definitely, you know, focused only on Christian value, Catholic value, Baptist value. I had the best of both worlds growing up because
right.
I was born a Christian or a Catholic, Roman Catholic,
right.
But that was my dad's side. I also
right.
had my mom who was a Southern Baptist. And my parents weren't, well, but they weren't the type of parents that were like, oh, well, because I'm the woman, we're just going to go with the man's,
right.
you know, religion. And they both came to the agreement that all of us kids learn both sides. And I'm glad. I
and
am,
that's the way it
to this
be.
Day, I am. But, you know, and I still got, you know, I got the dirty looks, the slap upside the back of the head. Even at 26 years old, being in the service, being a father myself, and I come home
right.
and with my words, slap upside the head. You don't say that word in this house. So, you know,
yeah.
And that's why I have to chuckle because, come on now. Not everybody, okay, yes, I believe in faith, I support it 100%. Don't shove it down my throat, for number one. Number two, don't tell me that you're so into that faith that you don't do no wrong, because I will call you out on it every time.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's the only perfect man.
And that's where I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons why our chaplain doesn't come on a lot of our shows. And I had same problem with our past chaplain that she tried the same thing.
Yes.
And I was like, nah, it don't go that way.
No, yeah.
So, in my eyes, and this is my own opinion, in my eyes, that's hypocritical.
Right.
True.
That you're going to judge me because of the way I talk. I'm sorry, but you know what? I was in a service for many years, and by God, I think I earned the right to cuss and to speak my mind the way that it comes out. Love me, hate me, whatever, this is me. And I would rather have somebody like myself talking than to have somebody blowing smoke up my ass.
Well, like I said, I do try and be respectful, you know, of people, you know, because I know, like, even my sister, she really doesn't like the foul language. So I try and be respectful, you know, but I am not going to, but if I do curse, I'm not going to get upset about it. You know, I don't take the Lord's name in vain, you know, which is what he doesn't want. And
right.
But to be courteous to people, I do try and watch my tongue during certain conversations. But tonight, too. When we're bitching, but like, you know, in situations like tonight when we're shooting the shit or whatever, you know, I'm not going to watch my language. I mean, what the hell?
No,
everybody,
that,
you know,
that's what Thursday night shows are
right.
about.
Right.
It's you. It's me. It's Christopher.
Right.
It's whoever calls in.
Right.
This is a blow-off session.
Right.
You get all your frustrations out, you feel better.
Right.
I mean, that's the only way I can explain it, because I've had my friends say, well, yeah, I've listened to your show, but you know what? You kind of go overboard. I'm like, yeah. I said, because it's there to try to get you intrigued. To
right.
put your two cents in instead of sitting there listening.
Right. Call and offer your opinion. Now, you don't like, you know, if you don't like the language, call and tell us why. You know, what's your viewpoint on it? You know, like I said, you know, if I'm in a room full of old ladies, I'm not going to say any bad words at all. I actually do know how to hold a conversation in a room without using one bad word. I can go for
sure.
hours. You know, I mean,
do
I do it at work all the time. So, but, you know, but, I think people place too much importance on it. My mother said, here's the rule. Like, my mother didn't have much of an issue with us using the bad words. The problem was, how were we using them?
Right.
You know, like, you don't call people names. You know, you don't, when you're in a conversation, you don't start calling people bad names because you don't like what they're saying or whatever. Okay?
Exactly.
Now, but if you're getting upset and excited and you're using bad words within the conversation, that's one thing. But insulting people using bad words, that's totally different.
Yes, and that's the way I raised all five of my kids.
Right.
And because even
today,
even today at my age, I don't care if you're older or younger than me. I will give you the utmost respect, and I will not swear in front of you. But the minute that you show me disrespect, gloves are off. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way I was raised. You know, we were raised that, you know, a man does not go into a woman's purse. I don't care if you're married. And this was beaten. You laugh. I'm telling you dead honest.
I know men that even when they're given permission, they don't go in a woman's purse.
And I've been married over 20 years, and I still have not put my hand in my wife's purse.
Good for you.
Because, that's the way I was brought up. I was brought up, you don't put your hands on a woman, no matter what, no matter how pissed off she makes you, no matter how much she hits you, whatever. You don't put your hands on a woman. Number two, you do not go into a woman's purse at all. It wasn't, unless you get her permission. No, my dad was very strict on that rule.
Not if you want to keep your sanity.
Right. But my wife to this day, she'll be like, oh, the keys are in my purse. I'm like, well, can you go get them? And she's like, come on, God damn it. We've been married for over 20 years. And I'm like, and? It's called respect.
My husband would do is he would go and get my purse and bring it to me.
That's what I do, too. When she gives me that much of a fight, I'll go in and I'll pick it up and I'll put it right in her lap. Well, why couldn't you do that in the other room? Because that's the way I was raised. You don't go into people's things.
Right. You don't go in a man's wallet either. You know, that's just how it was. I mean, it's so different now. I don't believe that a man should be hitting on a woman under any circumstances.
No.
On the other hand, I do believe a man should be allowed to defend himself by holding on to the woman or something so that she can't beat on him. But
believe me, I'm not going to take a butt whooping, but I'm not going to hit her
like I would hit
a man.
Yeah, no, I do not believe that. Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And, you know, it's just, like I said, my mother, she was it's really funny. She went from being, accounts for drug addicts and alcoholics to being a drug dealer.
She had to learn from the drug dealers to be able to.
So,
I'm sorry, that was wrong.
but at any rate, but I'll tell you though, so I was around a lot of despicable people, for one way or another, but my mother taught us you don't have to respect a person to be respectful. She's
like
a bum on the street or whatever. She says you don't have to respect that person and what they've done, what they've made of their life, but you sure as hell better treat them with respect because you don't know what their life was, what put them in that place, or anything. She goes, you don't step on them, you don't walk over them. You see a bum laying in the street, and they go, you don't just step over them. You say excuse me, or it's. You be polite. You be respectful. That's why I was saying, with the language or even with the mask. I didn't wear masks because I was afraid of COVID or any of that. I wore it periodically to be respectful to those around me. And
right.
You know, You know, you don't have to agree or like or anything to be respectful. And for some reason, we're not like that anymore. Even this asshole that's in the White House, you know, he's a piece of shit and everything. But, you know, I mean, I'd still be respectful if I saw him in person type of thing. You know, it's that old adage.
I only respect the office.
Right, the office, exactly. But even with him in the office, there's nothing to respect about it at this point.
If I saw him in my seat, I'd tell him what I really felt.
Right. My point is that you treat, whether they're a king or a beggar, you treat them the same. That's a Jesus thing. And that's how I try and live my life. I am not perfect. I am human. I err. But the point of being a Christian, being a good Christian, is to try to live your life as Jesus did. It's to be repentant of your sins and to try not to commit the same ones, at least, over and over again. But I have an issue with, you know, a lot of these, you know, famous, you know, like Biden and Pelosi, you know, about how what good Christians, about Catholics and everything they are. And, you know, getting, you know, the Pope gave her whatever, communion. But yet, they're not following their own religion's dictate, let alone what Christ says. So how are they good Christians? How, you know, this is what the problem is.
Well, like I had said previously, you know, I personally felt I grew up in the right household with being subjected to both Catholic and Southern Baptist. Now, at a young age, and this is why it kind of turned me off from the Christianity part, was my cousin, she had babies and had the Bible in one hand and a glass of wine in the other and swore up and down the streets and beat the crap out of her kids.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, nah. So, you know, and then as I got older, and like I said, I started studying different religions, not just Catholic, Christianity, baptism. I've studied it all. I studied Hinduism. I've done the Quran. And yes, the main one that I do not agree with, and I will never agree with, is the Quran.
Yeah.
And when I got older and I told my cousin the reason why was because she also was the type that was, you know, oh, read the Bible. You got to sit down here and pray with me. All right. How am I supposed to pray with somebody that, for one, is drinking alcohol and, on the other hand, sitting there beating the crap out of her kids?
Wait.
In front of me.
So she didn't understand what she was reading.
Right. And, you know, but later on in years, you know, we did come together, and I thank God for that, because she passed away 2 years ago. But my point was that, you know, because I was a lot younger, and knowing what I knew about the Catholic faith and the Southern Baptist, and then having my cousin being this Christian, and
didn't
it kind of threw me off. Right. It kind of threw me off because until I got older, because like I said, until you start reading this stuff, and I mean, and that's where I get my own personal opinion, like I said, is that I try not to disrespect anybody.
Right.
And especially when it comes to religion. I might not agree with it, but I will not disrespect you.
I agree 100%.
Right. And that's where a lot of your hypocrites, in my eyes, come from. Is that,
right.
Oh, well, you know, I'm this, I'm that, and better not curse around me.
Right.
Give me a damn break, because let me tell you something. I have even heard a priest cuss.
Right.
So you're not going to sit there. I respect that priest more because he told it like it was than I would somebody that's carrying the Bible around trying to tell me, you know, well, this, that, the other thing, and, you know, I don't go for cussing. It's the same thing.
Well,
I could turn to you and say, well, I don't go for your sins, because everybody's
right?
got a sin.
True, we're all sinners. That's right. There is no your sin isn't any bigger or smaller than mine.
Nope.
We're all sin.
Except for pedophiles, I will kill one. I'm sorry, you know, for saying that word, but I will kill one in a heartbeat.
Well,
and not think twice about
that.
It.
If they were truly repentant, God will forgive them with their on their left. But that's God. That's not us. You don't have to. We're not God. We're not. You know what I mean? So it's not up to us to forgive them. But my mother, like, she was raised Catholic, and she became atheist. I was raised predominantly as a young kid Episcopal, but, you know, when I left the convent, you know, I went to multiple denominations. You know, Baptist, Lutheran, you know, Presbyterian, I mean, Pentecostal. I mean, I went to so many different ones because despite the fact that she didn't believe, she did believe in Jesus' teachings, and she did believe, like your parents, that you have to make up your own mind what you want to believe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So though she was herself, you know, an atheist at that time and a bleeding heart liberal, she made sure that me and my siblings had options, that we could make up our own mind. Today, they don't do that. Children don't have that opportunity. They don't allow it in school anymore. They make it very difficult for churches to have any kind of activities for young people so they can get to know God and Jesus, you know, and that's sad. So children, they can't even make up their own minds because they don't know. They don't know about it. You know what I mean? And that is really, really sad.
That's what drew me away from the Catholic side. Like I said, I went to Catholic school for 2 weeks and was kicked out. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. The nun tacked me on the hand with the freaking ruler, and I broke it in half, and I put her against the wall. And I told her, there's only two people in my life that'll put their hands on me. That's my mom and my dad. But
no, what
really got me away from the Catholic faith was especially when I became divorced and I had children that I wanted baptized.
Oh, they made the children pay for you.
Oh, they said, oh, yes, we'll welcome you with open arms if you give me $3,000 per child.
Right.
As
a
donation. You know what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take your donation, shove it up your butt.
Yeah. As I said, you know, I personally have an issue with the Catholic religion as an organization because they put their man-made laws ahead of the Bible. They put their catechism first. And but my uncle was an Episcopal priest. He's passed away, but he had two daughters. He was happily married. He had a pilot's license. I mean, you know, he and my mom used to have really good conversations. I know because he was listening and about the Bible because she knew the Bible. She just didn't still believe. And but at any rate, but today's kids, you know, as I was saying, the sad thing is today's kids don't have those opportunities because I've studied Hinduism, I've studied all of it. I mean, I've always been a Christian. I have never not believed. But that doesn't mean I can't read or study other stuff. You know,
sure.
I mean, at the end, you know, that's why I tell people, yes, I believe that the road to heaven is hard and narrow through Christ. At the end of the day, what is that, you or me?
No, that's not me. I think that's the one that really needs Jesus, and that's Lorna.
What?
Oh!
What's the problem?
I thought you were dead in the hospital.
I was. I'm on my way home. I'm just doing a quick update. He did have a stroke, and it was the kind that's on the back of your brain. And the swelling has gone down, and how he survived this, I have no idea, because technically he should have been gone, because he's been running headaches for the last 3, 4, 5 days and never said anything to anybody, and that's when the swelling was. And, so they're keeping him in the hospital for 2, 3 days to figure out what causes the stroke.
The headaches come from you.
You gave him a headache.
Yup. The headaches came from you.
Well,
probably.
I will keep him in my prayers.
Yeah. So, I was giving an update since I got a long drive home.
I hear you. Well, we did say prayers and everything. Chris was the first one to come on earlier and shouted it out. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we're here for you. Always.
All righty. Yep, I know. So
yeah, well,
on that note, I'm going to hang up and drive. We got bad storms up in Savannah right now, I guess.
Well, you suck.
We need the rain bad.
Yeah, I know. On the West Coast, in the Midwest, they need it too. Did you see about all the drought and everything, and the cannibalistic crickets in Utah?
All right, get off here.
Prayers to you, babe. Prayers to you.
All right, thank you.
We love you.
Yes, I know. Love you too.
You better.
Just give me the bribe money to say that.
Yeah, checks in the mail. All
right. All right.
You be safe, girl.
I will. All right,
yeah.
Bye.
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 No, but, I mean, but like you were saying, I mean, I even studied about witches and Satanism and all that stuff because, you know, they say you're supposed to know your enemy. So, you know, and so I that's what I thought I'd do. I'd study. And I had people accusing me of being evil and everything just because I studied. But I'm, you know, that's why I have an issue with Pentecostal. You know, I'm like,
sure.
I'm not Pentecostal. You know, I said, I'm sorry, but according to the Bible, you're supposed to know your enemy. I mean, you know, so
right.
I studied about it. And, I learned
let me tell you something.
Lot.
I was stupid as a kid, and I was dumb enough to sit in a room with my sisters playing with a Ouija board.
Oh, those things are evil.
And let me tell you something. Like a year after they broke it, they did the whole, you know, whatever, and buried it, whatever. I heard my sister up in a room one time, and I kind of snuck up the steps. And I see this freaking bowl, and it's spinning like 2 inches off the ground. And she's saying something, and I'm like, oh, hell no. I backed
right
out of that room, and I sat her down one day. Now, this is my oldest sister. And I said to her, I said, don't ever do that shit in front of me. She's like, what are you talking about? And I told her, and she's like, well, you weren't supposed to see that. What do you think that would have done if he came up and saw that crap?
Right. She's
so,
putting her
yeah
soul in danger by doing that. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing, like I said, to study about them, to learn, you know, so that you know. But that stuff is absolutely evil. I mean,
yes.
I
studied it all too. White craft, white and black magic. I've looked it up. I've read books. I never participated.
No.
Because
here's the thing.
There was that part that told me ever since I was younger that, you know, the only bad thing in my life I did in that type of situation was I played with a Ouija board.
Right.
And when things started happening, I was like, oh, no. And then walking up on my sister a year later, seeing this shit going on, I'm like, oh, no. That's not me.
Now,
I
here's
want
the
nothing
thing.
To
power,
do.
Power is inanimate. It's neither good nor bad. It's the person that uses it that determines whether or not it's good or bad. Now,
sure.
God did have, you know, who could do certain things through him, you know, with his power or whatever. And I am sure that there are people today that can do things with God's power. You know what I mean? And
I am positive that there are people today that can do what my grandmother and my mother used to be able to do. And the reason why I so much more believe it now is because I have a little bit. Ever since my accident, I see it.
Right.
And see, a lot of people tell me I'm nuts, I'm out of this world. Well, you know what? Wait till my book comes out.
Right.
Because I am working on a book. And the thing is
that. I believe it when I actually get a chance to read it.
Right. Well,
I tell my sister that all the time.
Everybody's been telling me, you know, you got to write it all down. I've got pages and pages.
Right.
It's just finding an author. And I have found one that happens to be a person I actually went to high school with. And they're really
cool.
Intrigued after they've read what I've written down. And the thing is that, you know, it's, I'm not saying in my experiences, in my life, that I have that gift. But I can tell you that my grandmother could sit there and look at it, at her tea leaves in the bottom of a cup. Right. And she could read your life story if you wanted to listen to it. But as young kids, it scared us so much. We were like, we got to a certain point. We're like, Nana, no. I don't want to hear no more.
Said, I believe that there are those that have abilities. Some of them come from God. Some of them come from the devil. You know, the problem is sometimes it can be hard to determine, you know, which is which type of thing. I absolutely believe in demons and spirits and magic and stuff. Absolutely believe in it. But I also believe that it's not always evil. So the problem is how do you determine whether or not, you know, so, and that's where the, you know, where the catch is, you know, because God did use, you know, people that could do these things. So we can't automatically say that because somebody believes something or can do something that they're evil. We can't automatically assume that. Or that, you know, that they're from God.
But back in the day, just like the Salem witch hunt.
Right.
You know, back in the day, just because you were different, because you experienced different things, they want to burn you at the stake because, automatically you're a witch.
And the majority of those women, it wasn't that they were witches, it's you're doing magic, it's they were herbalists.
Right.
So they knew which herbs would do what to help you heal stuff. You know, so since men were the hunters and women were the gatherers and the homemakers, they were the ones that did the herbal stuff.
Right.
So of course they're the ones that are going to be accused of being witches.
That's why everybody calls me the devil, because I was born on Halloween.
Oh no, that's nothing. People don't understand Halloween. You know what Samhain and all of that stuff was. You know, yes, it's a pagan holiday, but it actually isn't evil. They actually were fighting evil for Samhain.
Yes.
That was the whole point of doing what they did.
Ever since I was little and learned it and everything, and, you know, that's my favorite holiday, honestly.
I love Halloween. It is my favorite holiday because that's what they do on Halloween. You go out and fight evil. I mean, that's what it was about. Yes, I understand it's a pagan holiday, but it was not about in. It was about getting rid of evil. Type of thing. So,
it all has to do with how you use what you know.
Right. Exactly. And
good or bad,
you know,
whichever way, and it'll always come out because the truth always comes out. And it's you know, that's why a lot of people don't participate in Halloween, because it's the goblins, it's the devil's day, it's, you know, I've been through it all.
It's not. The same thing, it's like you know, you and I were lucky. We caught the tail end of a truly liberal education, so we got to learn about different things in school. You know, it wasn't just about taking tests. You know, we actually got an education. And
got to participate in actual history, actual science.
Right.
And biology, I mean, science, biology, and not so much mathematics, because that was boring to me, but
literature,
science, biology.
I even took classes in school on different mythologies, you know, like Norse mythology, Greek, and how they affected today's society. People don't realize how big of a role those mythologies play. It's not just Christianity, Judaism, and Islam may be the main ones, but those mythologies also played an important role on who we are as societies today.
That was one of my favorite classes, was laying down. Our teacher had us laying down on the floor, turned the lights out, and all you saw on the ceiling was stars.
Oh yeah.
And then
he started into
the mythical, and you know constellations, and talking about the mythical gods, and yes.
They were
my favorite subjects. Most, and especially history, science, and the mythology were my three. They were my three favorite subjects, and I got nothing less than a B in them classes. But now, when you put me in front of math, that's where my C's, D's, and failures came from. Because I didn't
give a shit
about
math.
I guess you're not logic. Nope.
But seriously, I mean, those studying those subjects were very important too. You know, I also took different, you know, sociology and psychology types of classes in high school. You know what I mean?
I had psych 1 and 2, and they told me I shouldn't come back for the next semester.
But the thing is that, you know, or astrology and geography and geology and all this stuff, they don't teach any of that. You get like a couple of days for a few weeks of the different, you know,
not
subjects,
even.
You know, they do field trips.
Not even. My youngest daughter is 19 right now. My middle daughter, now they were my two daughters that grew up down here in South Carolina, and I could not believe what they were teaching back then in these schools. I'm like, I ain't never heard of this shit. I'm like, where's your history? Where's your science? Oh, yeah, we have a week or two weeks of this and a week or two. Where are they learning? And that's when I started having the problem when it came to the academics. I'm like, no. And then, you know, now that they're older, now I see, oh, let's bring CRT in. What the hell is that shit?
Right?
And what's this? What's that? Oh, now we got transgender bathrooms? Oh, hell no. That would have, I'm going to tell you right now, I probably would have been in jail every week if they brought that back when my kids were in school.
Because I'd have a major
problem. I don't have a problem what you consider yourself. I have, my best man is gay.
Right.
But him and I, that's not what our relationship was about.
No.
Our relationship was, hey, I'll put my life on the line for you and vice versa.
Right.
But, and I also have a gay niece. Right. And I was the first one she came out to, and she was afraid to come out to me. And I told her, I said, "Man, why would you feel that way?" Well,
because they're
you're
making
my fa-
them feel that way.
Well, because I knew her when she was a newborn baby. I was 16 mm-hmm. years old. She lived in our household. Mm-hmm. And that child, I was everybody said it. They're like, "Yo, where'd you have a kid at?" I'm like, "This is my niece." So from mm-hmm. day one of her life, I was her favorite, and I'm still her favorite. But I was the first one she came out to. And I told her, I said, "Why was that so hard, Manda? I don't care what your preference is. You're my niece.
Right.
I love you no matter what. You're my baby."
Right.
And, you know, and that's where everything nowadays starts getting all thrown out there.
Right.
No. When I was growing up, if you dress like a woman, you're a man, you're a faggot. I mean, that's the way I was raised.
Right, right. Yeah, me too. But, I mean, the thing was, is like I had an Aunt Rosie, and Aunt Rosie had a very big Adam's apple, you know, dressed like a woman, transvestite, you know, very wonderful person. And, you know, I don't have a problem with transvestites. Don't have a problem
no.
with transgender, as you know. I don't care about gay or
no.
And here's
but
the
when
thing.
You start
old,
shoving it
old,
down
old
our throats,
right?
And especially when you start bringing kids into it,
right?
Now I got a problem with it.
But see, here's the thing: old school LGBT people feel the same way that we do. They don't
right.
like this new shit.
Yeah,
because
but you're not going to hear anything about it because you're not going to hear from them because the media pushes them outside the box.
Right. Anytime they speak out, anytime the gay community speaks out against what's going on, they get bad. Now, look at Brian Stalker, you know, the guy from Away situation.
Right.
Or look at Ruben, the guy that did Locals, you know, he and his husband, you know, are having a child or whatever. You know, they're having a surrogate, you know, have their baby or whatever.
I respect people like that because you
right.
know why? They're bringing the child. You know,
right.
they're bringing an adoption into it to where at least, hey, this kid is going to have the best of both right. worlds.
Right. In fact, he was talking with Jordan Peterson. I don't know if you're familiar with who Jordan Peterson is. And they were talking about family and what it means when there are two gay, it's a gay couple, you know. And, you know, and it was really interesting talk. I made it about halfway through before I was exhausted and I fell asleep. But, and again, and, you know, so regardless of what I may personally feel about, Christianity and the Bible and homosexuality and gay marriage and all this other stuff, I believe in choice. I believe in free will. I believe that everybody has the right to make their own choices with what they're going to do with their lives as an adult. I do not believe that they should be pushing this. I do not believe that they have the right to push this on children, even if it's their own biological children. Look at that girl on the Laura Ingalls show last night that they were interviewing who in puberty had her breasts removed. They put her on
yes.
on testosterone
yes.
and all that stuff.
Yes.
And now she's right. And now she has blood clots in her urine. She can't even fully empty her bladder. She doesn't know she can carry a baby to term, let alone get pregnant. She won't be able to breastfeed because she doesn't have breasts.
Right.
And that's what I have an issue with. Now, children who are confused You know, I don't have an issue if a six-year-old boy wants to wear a fairy dress.
Even us as kids, we were all confused.
Right. I don't have an issue with that. I don't believe, you know, forcing a child. But I'm also not going to encourage it. I'm not going to beat them for wearing a dress, but I'm not going to encourage it either. You know, I'm not going to take them to the store and buy them a whole new wardrobe of dresses. You know, I'm just going to say, "Oh, that's cute." You know, take some pictures for when they're an adult, and I want to blackmail them. You know,
pictures, yo.
Hey, I'm going to show your girlfriend this. You know, but
right.
But my point is that now if you know when they hit 18. They decide, mom or whatever, you know, I really want to be a girl or I really want to be a boy or I like girls or I like members of the same sex. Because that's another thing. Not all transgender are homosexual. And not all homosexuals are transgender.
Nope.
Yeah, they're different things.
And that's the only problem I got about somebody being homosexual. Okay, that's your life. That's what you chose. But you knew what you were getting yourself into. I'm not going to judge you because I can't. Because like I said, my best man at my wedding, and we're still friends, and I love him like my brother.
Right.
To this day. And that's one question that always comes up. He's always saying, man, all these years, you know I'm gay, and why do you still hang with me? Why do you want to meet up with me when you come home? I'm like, dude.
Because you're my friend.
Exactly. You're my little brother.
Right.
And, I know it's challenging. But in the same token, I know it's wrong in God's eyes, but again, that's not my choice.
No, that's between him and God.
I
know your response is supposed to be, oh, well, they're automatically going to hell because they're, and I'm like, no, that's not my automatic response. I understand that the Bible says that sodomy is a sin and whatnot.
Right.
But I'm sinful too. We're all sinful. But do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the way to God and the way to heaven?
Yes.
Then that means when you die and go before God, he's going to be the one that judges you whether or not you go to hell
that's
or not.
Right.
In the meantime,
and
you keep it behind your doors, and we're
that's
clean.
That's how I explained it to my niece, and that's how I explained it to my best man. I said, I can't change you. I'm not in your body. I don't know your feelings. But is that going to make me feel less of you? No.
Yeah.
As long as you know that I'm not that way.
Yeah.
We're good.
I always tell people, my friends who are homosexual know how I feel about homosexuality. And they're still my friends. Or I'm still their friend. You know what I mean? In other words,
right.
They know how I feel, but yet they don't care that I feel that way. So why should anybody
know?
No,
because you treat them like a human being.
Wait, I'm honest, I'm upfront, I'm like, look, I don't care you two guys, I love that you love each other, but keep the kissing and all that stuff behind your bedroom doors, not on my couch.
Right, right. Yep. But that, and that's why I say a lot of people are hypocritical.
Right.
And especially when it comes to religion. And that's why I've always done it. I mean, we were taught it in school, separate church from state and all that.
Yep.
But my thoughts on all of it is hey, what you do behind your closed door, that's your business.
Right.
I don't want to know about it. It ain't none of my business.
I will, with joy, witness. I will share my life experiences with God and Christ, joy in my heart. And hopefully convince you, you know, if you're a non-believer, whatever, to investigate it. Investigate God
sure.
and Christ. I will
yep.
joyfully witness. I am not going to force you to believe, because that's not what God wants.
No.
I am not going to condemn you. We are supposed to love your enemy. Love
exactly.
thine enemy. You're supposed to, you know, if somebody hates you or beats on you, you're supposed to spread love on them because God will get revenge for you.
Yep.
You know, the same thing. God said turn the other cheek, but he didn't say to let them beat the shit out of you either. That's why, you know, some organized religion I have some issues with. But I and that's why I love listening to Robert on Sundays, you know, and I always get disappointed when I miss him because he does a wonderful job of sharing the word. He really does.
Right.
And,
yes, he does.
And even if he doesn't like us using bad words. and with Chris as his brother, I'm surprised that he's not used to it.
right. No, but my thought is, you know, and my wife always slaps me because I always tell her, I'm like, they're not going to send me to hell, then sure as hell not going to take me to heaven. And she's like, knock it off. I'm like, well, you know, they send me to the pearly gates, they're going to shove me back down, and devil ain't going to want me, so where am I going to be?
My first husband, he said if I have to pick a religion, it's going to be Zen Buddhism. But you know he knew the Bible backwards and forwards. He believed in Christ. He believed in Christ's teachings, but he also was a mythicist. He believed in astrology, and he was very good at it. And tarot and he did some really freaky shit. I mean, he's had one, you know, he's one of those with a mind that could do some awesome things. But my point is, he would say, with my luck, there is a heaven. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to heaven. And the same idiots that I have to deal with down here are going to be up there.
Well, it's like my dad stopped going to Catholic Church when they brought in all the freaking guitars and the drums and all. My dad was like, "Oh heck no!" And I'm like, "Dad, it took you that long?" And he looked at me. He goes, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "I decided a long time ago when you started having to put money in the basket." That, you know what, this is just a money gimmick.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, I'm really happy with the people that I have met through the years, and especially down here. I'm in a denominational church.
Non-denominational.
And non-denominational. And they accept you for who you are, and as long as you follow the word of God, they love you.
Yeah.
But they're not sitting there shoving, oh, well, you know, in order to pray here, you got to give money. You got to do this.
Right. No,
and
I understand.
That's the church, this church down here, that's the best one that I've found. And like I said, I've been down here. I grew up, was born and raised in New Jersey, and I moved down here in 07, and I love it. And
yeah.
Especially the church, because like I said, yes, we do help each other when
right.
we need it. But you don't have that constant every Sunday, oh, well, you know what? So-and-so didn't put money inside the basket when it went around. So-and-so, that's what I grew up seeing in the Catholic
Church.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah.
And I was like, nah. And my dad looked at me because he was only continuing going to church with us kids.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I hear you. I understand. I agree with you.
When they first started playing those instruments, my dad goes, "This ain't church," and you know, because we were all sitting around the dinner table. And my dad says, "What did you think?" And I said, "It took you long enough." And he looked at me. I was 11 years old, and I'm like, "Why do you have to give money to be in a church?" And my dad, he got quiet. He got quiet. And he's like, "I can't believe you just said that. Because here I am mad that they brought, you know, the guitar and the drums in."
Oh, no, I like
and
that
here
stuff.
You are.
I actually like the modern.
Oh, I do too. But my point, at that young age, and it struck my dad, is what... You know, what helped him and I as later on in life, yes, because
that's
he's
awesome.
Sitting there bitching about the instruments, and I said, well, I wouldn't give it a penny in that basket going around. And he thought about it. He's like, you know what? You're right. You are right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I really wish we could get more people to come on and participate. It would be awesome.
I know. I do, too. Believe me.
You know,
but
I do share it with him.
Yes, I know it's getting out there because, like I said, I've got the Tumblr platform. I've got Rumble. The only thing I haven't gotten yet is Truth Social because they haven't brought it on Android yet.
I'm on Truth Social. I go to the website. You don't. You can do it on your laptop or your phone. You go to the website. You don't need to have the app.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to have to check it out then.
Yeah, go to their website.
All right.
Yes, you can sign up for it. On Rumble, is it listed under Defender 7?
What's that?
For Rumble, is it Defender 7?
Yeah.
All right, because I'll look it up then. All right, we got less than a minute.
I'm on all those platforms. Every time we do a show, it gets posted there.
All right, I'm gonna look it up.
And that's all right. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for everybody that's listening. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, the missing, our veterans, our military, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.